Hi, guys. Hi. Hang on. Have you ever been really thirsty? Yes. Does it make you even thirstier when people drink in front of you? No? Parker's thinking about it. Riley? Yeah, maybe. What makes you thirsty? Particularly hot days and over-exercising. Wyatt? The same. Parker? People who drink in front of you? The heat, the dry air, it just makes me very thirsty. So I've always been someone who seems to have lots of drinks, lots of water, lots of coffee, lots of tea, whatever it is. It's constant, isn't it, family? And I drink even better if I have a straw. And then, my goodness, I can drink so much if I have a straw. So water bottle is not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing in that aspect. Sometimes I can just look at it and I'm like, why am I not drinking that? I'm so thirsty, but I'm not drinking it. So are we ever that way about God's word or living our lives for God? So in John chapter 4, verse 7, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Because Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And then Jesus went on to tell her many things about her life, which she was amazed that he knew. And he explained that he was the Messiah. And then she went on to tell many Samaritans about him, and they came to know him as well. So I just want you to know that just as you get thirsty for a drink that you put in your body through a liquid form, also always be thirsty for the Lord.
Dawn asked me to come and speak to you about the Gideons today, and I wanted to share some scriptures with you in the beginning, but I was afraid it'd take so much time, I was going to sort of condense it a little bit. You're going to be surprised, Don. We did not plan this, did we? Say we did not talk, did we?
Well, we talked, but not about what we're
doing. No. Open your Bibles to chapter 4 of John. Now, because of time constraint, I didn't want to read the whole chapter. So I was going to cut it down to about verse 25 through 42. But Don read the beginning part, so now the stage has been set. Thank you, Don. I was just smiling when I heard you start that, and I thought, that just goes to show you the power of the Lord. I'm not going to preach to you much this morning, but I'm going to share with you about the Gideons. But just going off just what Don read, start at verse 25. The woman said unto him, and I'm reading from the King James, just so you know. The woman said unto him, "I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he shall tell us all things." And Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee and am he." And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man saith, "Why seekest thou?" or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, Come see the man which told me all things which ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And when they went out of the city and came unto him, in the meanwhile the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore his disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say ye not, There are yet 4 months, and there come harvest. Behold, I say unto you, I lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white and ready to harvest. And they that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit upon life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labor. Our key verses is verse 39 and 40, 41 and 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all I ever did. And when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and abode there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words. And then verse 42 says, And they said unto the woman, I added they, but it's talking about the Samaritans. They said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that it is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And we'll just finish with verse 43. And now after 2 days he departed hence and went unto Galilee. Again, I'm amazed at Don giving the intro, because I was going to give an intro of what Jesus did here with the Samaritan woman. And we all know that her life was changed. Her life was changed when she met a man named Jesus, didn't it? Her life was completely changed. If you look in verse 39, not only was her life changed, but when she went into the community and told the story, many other lives were changed. Was it her that made the change? Who was it made the change? It was Jesus that made the change, wasn't it? So we look in verse 39 and we see that she went and talked with the people there in the community, and many lives were changed. But in 41, they came out and talked to Jesus personally, and many more believed. Many more believed, not because of the saying of the woman, but because of Jesus' own words himself. And in verse 42, he stayed with him 2 days. 2 days he stayed there with him. They encouraged him to stay, and he stayed for 2 days. Now, the scripture does not tell us what he said or did in those 2 days. Put your imagination in, and I can only imagine what he did and said. Here's what I think he did and said. Go to Matthew chapter, you don't have to go there, you'll know. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. I believe this is what Jesus probably said. Probably some of the same words he said to the Samaritans was exactly what he said to the Sermon on the Mount. And if you go to chapter 4, at the end of chapter 4, you'll find that not only did he have the Sermon on the Mount, he also was healing the sick and the afflicted. So I can only imagine what he did in Samaria. He probably was healing the sick, the diseased, and he was saving souls. Lives were being changed. And again, I didn't come here to preach to you. I came to share with you about the Gideons, but that's what we do, is we reach out into the world to change lives with the Word of God. That's what our purpose is. And I wanted to give you the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how about the Gideon ministry. Now, it's been a while since I've showed you the different colors of Bibles that we use and places we place them. And I'm sure from those who've been here before, I'm sure you remember them by just recognition of the color. But I want to share with you again. There might be someone new. How many of you got a red Bible in the fifth grade and they came into your classroom? I've told this story before. If you got a red Bible and they came to your classroom, you're getting old like me. Because they don't do that anymore. You can't go into the classroom anymore. The red one was for the fifth grade in the classroom. The white is for nurses and doctors. Now, the words inside are exactly the same. The color is only so we can keep track of what we do and where we do it at. That's what the colors are for. The words inside are the same. Green is for colleges. Orange is for the fifth grade now when we're out on the sidewalk and 4-H fairs and things like that. We have to go out on the sidewalk now. How many of you here got one on the sidewalk at fifth grade? Yeah. Yes. You're getting older too, girl. The blue is for our EMTs, police officers, and firemen. And of course, I don't need to explain this one. The camouflage is for our military boys and girls. Now, it's a lot harder to get into the military since 9/11. We have to rely on placing the Bibles with the chaplains and then the chaplains handing them out to the individuals because a couple of guys in suits and ties with the box might be a bomb in them, I guess. I don't know. But used to, we'd sit at the gate and place the Bibles to the military inductees as they went in. Now we have to rely on the chaplains. Two areas that you may not be familiar with. A brown one like this goes to men in jail. And we place them with men in the prisons and local jails. And the lighter blue is for the women if they're in jail. I hope you never get one. That's not our encouragement. But the encouragement is that while they're there, they're able to read God's word. 60% of the Bibles we place today are these two. The fifth grade, fairs, and colleges. 60%. Now you're all familiar with the one that goes in the hotel, right? That used to be our number one Bible placement was the hotels. Now it's the fifth grade and colleges. But this you'll find in many hotels, and today you'll find many hotels will not have it. They're pulling them out. And this one here you'll find in nursing homes and hospitals. Very seldom in our area will you find it in a hospital room now. Since COVID's gone on, when a patient leaves the room, everything in it goes. Everything. So if you're in a room and there's no Bible there and you'd like to have one, we supply them to the chaplains, and the chaplains can bring them up to the room to you or one of the nurses. Some years ago, I'm sorry, let me get back to my page. I'm getting off track. That's the where we place the Bibles. I want to share with you what the Gideons are all about. We're Christian businessmen and their wives with 250,000 Christian businessmen and their wives with one purpose, and that's to reach the lost by placing a copy of God's word in their hand. That's our purpose. When we started was 1899 by two men started to place God's word in a hotel for themselves to read, and then they carried this on, and then they started placing God's word. Some of the where I seen in the bulletin the name of a boy named Cameron Miller. You guys know Cameron? I'm going to tell you a little story about Cameron when I was working at the school. One day Cameron came to me and said, "Ray, I need some Bibles for my friends. Can you bring me some?" I said, "Sure can. But Cameron, I can't give them to you at school. It's against the law. But I'll tell you what I'll do." So he wanted 8. So I put 8 in a Walmart bag and put them on my desk in my office. And I said, "Cameron, steal them." And Cameron came by sometime and they were gone. And I always think about this young man every so often, because Cameron was a joy to be working with there at the school. His heart was for the Lord. But don't tell him I said he stole the Bibles, okay? Oh, I'm in trouble. I told on Cameron. One day, we placed the fifth graders out on the sidewalk, and a little girl picked up her Bible just like all the rest of them, and she came down the hallway later and said, later date, said, "Hey, Ray, can I send my Bible to my dad who's in prison?" I said, "Sure, they let these go to the prisoners too." She goes, "Oh, good, I already did." You know, this is the heart of the people. One time, I was placing the Bibles with the fifth graders out on the sidewalk. And here, I've told this story here before, I know. Had a table set up, had the Bibles sitting out there. We had about 100 out there and about 50 kids. One of the fifth graders come out and said, "Hey, can I have 2? And I said, "Sure." Well, you know what happens when one fifth grader wants something? Everybody wanted 2. And I thought, okay, we're not going to do this again. We're going to have to limit it to 1. A couple days later, one of the fifth graders was the tail end of the lunch line. And she started to walk backwards. She said, "You know, I took 2 Bibles." And I said, "Yes, I know that." She goes, "I give 1 to my dad to put in his lunchbox, and he takes it to work with him every day." And I thought, you know, we don't limit God's word. We never limit God's word. This is just some of the areas where we place. I got an encouragement for you as a church being part of the Gideons. Last couple months or so, we reached a new goal. 2,500,000,000 copies of God's word, and it's because of churches like you. 2,500,000,000 copies of God's word has been placed by the Gideons because of churches like you who support this mission. 2,500,000,000. Can you even fathom that? The only thing bigger than that I can think of is the national debt. We're in 200 countries and territories around the world. 200 territories and countries around the world. We print in 90 languages. We're going to have a blitz, several blitz here coming up in the next couple months. In February the 8th, we start in Mexico, a city in Mexico, and we just flood the town with God's word. Probably 100,000 or more copies of God's word in just a matter of a week. And that's February the 8th. Be praying for our blitzes in Mexico on the 8th of February. On the 25th of February, we're going to be in Kenya and just flood a town in Kenya with God's word. That's because of support of churches like you. And then we're going to be in Poland the 1st of April, placing God's word and flooding a town. I got a unique story to tell you about Poland. Poland, Russia, and Ukraine. We came into those countries as Gideons in 1989. We have placed millions of copies of God's words in those 3 countries. And now you see them in the news every day, don't you? Men and women are placing God's word. Now, Poland has just about 1,000 or so Gideons, and they're placing God's word. They've placed about 8 million copies in Poland. In Russia, that's quite a bigger number, and same with Ukraine. Be praying for these three countries as they play still out there trying to place God's word in the midst of a war. Also, we have a couple of farmers. Well, I don't know about the one up north, but we have a couple of our Gideon men, one from north, one from southern Illinois, that went to Peru. And one of them went to Peru and said that when he placed the Bibles with the college kids, they would just go out and sit on the grass and begin to read God's word. It's just a flood of kids out on the grass of the college campus, just sitting on the grass reading God's word. He described it like this. You know it's a farmer, like snow geese on a freshly plowed field. They just covered the grounds reading God's word. The other guy from up north went down to Peru, and he went into the classroom. And they were able to go into the classroom, unlike America, and share a story about a man named Jesus while he was in the classroom. And had a little boy that came up as he was going out, tugged on his pants. Hey, mister. Of course, he had to use a translator. I want to know about this man named Jesus. 3 months later, he got a word from the local Gideon there that the boy had died in a storm, that his house collapsed on him, and he had collapsed, and he had received Jesus Christ as his Savior before he died. This is what the Gideons are all about. And I've already said this, but why do we do this? The number one and only reason is to reach the lost with God's word. That's our one and only reason. To reach the lost by handing them a copy of God's word. That's our one and only reason, purpose of the Gideons. We do this in those 200 and some countries around the world, and we have that one purpose, and that's to change the world by the word of Jesus Christ, by the word of God. That's what happened in Samaria, wasn't it? Jesus came and his words changed the whole community. And that's what we'd like to do. I realize, and I know you do too, we could place 100,000 Bibles in Mexico in the first week of February. Not 100,000 people are going to get saved, but we're going to reach the world with God's word. They'll have the opportunity. I was up at EIU just a couple months ago. We were placing God's word at EIU. The kids come by. They are so humble. They're so sweet. They either say thank you or I've already got some. I just love EIU. The kids are just so respectful to the Gideon men as they place God's word on the campus. As I was placing the word, I would say, here's a free Bible. Would you like to have one? It's from the Gideons. And here come a professor, a couple of professors down the sidewalk. And I said, would you like to have a free Bible? And he said, stick it. And I thought, the power of God's word can change lives, and it can even change this professor. I want you to pray for this professor. I don't know his name. He's a professor at EIU. Pray for all our professors that the Bible, God's word, will change their lives, just like it did in Samaria. Pray that lives will be changed. That's the number one purpose of the Gideons, is to see lives changed. Now, of course, how do we do this? Number one is through prayer. We depend on your prayer that we might reach these lost souls. That's our number one support, is through prayer. Another way you can help is through the Gideon Card Ministry. You can send a card. You can go to gideons.org and you can send a card saying thank you in memory of someone. Matter of fact, when Bob's funeral, after the funeral, there were several hundred dollars placed in memory of Bob that sent the word out all over the world. Even with Bob, you've seen one of those testaments in his casket with him. This was his heart. That's one way you can help. another way through your funds. And 100% of everything given to the Gideons goes to print and place God's word. There's no administration cost. Another way you can help is one of you. Can you replace Bob? We need Gideon men and women. Can you replace Bob? We need someone to be there for Bob's position. Our men are getting older. Think about it. If you'd like to join the Gideons and place God's word around the world, think about that. We've had a couple of our Gideon men pass away just recently. We need more support. So that's another way you can help. I'd like to close by quoting a scripture from Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word, you know who thy is? God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that's what we are all about, is placing God's word that it might be a light unto your path. The words is what's important. This is just a book with paper and ink. But the words can change lives. It can change your life. And I want to make a challenge to you this morning. Here's your challenge. I worked at school. I wasn't a teacher. I was just a janitor. But I'm going to give you some homework. Go home this week and read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Now, if you want to hear a really good sermon and not like mine, read chapter 5, 6, and 7. That's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I want to give you a personal guarantee. And if it doesn't happen, I'll give you your money back. Wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, it will speak to you. Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7 will speak to you, I guarantee you. No matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, it will speak to you. And that's my challenge from the Gideons, is to remember God's word can change lives. And that's my message for this morning. Thank you for allowing me to come and share with you about the Gideons. And we charge you just to keep up the good work, church. You're our arm that keeps these Bibles going out into the community. Thank you.